Welcome back to The Source on KSTX. I'm David Martin Davies. 113,528 people moved to Texas from out of state last year, making it the most moved to state in the country. Florida ranked number two, adding 91,484 new residents. The state of Texas is growing and it's changing. In his new book, Changing Texas: Implications of Addressing or Ignoring the State Texas Challenge, former state demographer Steve Murdoch tells us about the sweeping changes that are coming to the state and the cost of ignoring these large shifts that are already occurring. The result is a 30 years of prior analysis. Murdoch argues Texas will become poorer and less competitive if changes don't start to happen now, if we don't start addressing these issues. Steve Murdoch is the director of the Hobby Center for the Study of Texas at Rice University. Welcome to The Source, Steve.
Well, thank you. Glad to be with you today.
Pretty ominous. People 20, 30 years from now can't say they haven't been warned. There it is right there. We need to make changes right now. So it seemed like the big takeaway from the book is that we have this rapid growth of population fueled by an increase in the Hispanic population, and this Hispanic and African-American Texans are likely to keep lagging social economically behind the rest of the white population, and that will lead to a poorer and less competitive state. Is that pretty much it?
That's a pretty good summary. What you find, of course, is that when you look at population change, and increasingly, one of the things important to understand is that the population part of this change, that is the dynamics, the racial and ethnic mix, is very similar for other parts of the country. For example, in the last full decade that we had population data, 2000 to 2010, in Texas, about 11% of the total growth was due to non-Hispanic white populations, 65% due to Hispanics, and about 12% to African Americans, and another 12% or so to Asian and other populations. In the United States as a whole, the percent of the population due to non-Hispanic whites was 8%, not 11% like in Texas, but 8%. So increasingly, this is a national phenomena. And as you said, one of the issue here is it really doesn't matter what people's racial and ethnic characteristics were. If it were not for the fact that due to a variety of historical, discriminatory, and other factors, these demographic characteristics are tied to socioeconomic characteristics. They're tied to the resources that people have to buy goods and services in the private sector. They're tied to the resources that people have to pay taxes in the public sector. And as we change our population, if we do not change the socioeconomic factors that go with them, we will, as we change our population, change the very socioeconomic structure of Texas. And the differences socioeconomically, as you indicated, are vast. If you look at incomes, for example, for African American Hispanics, they're about 60 to 75% of what they are for non-Hispanic whites. Poverty rates for Hispanics and African Americans tend to run 2 to 3 times as high as those for non-Hispanic whites. And so as you see a population that when we project and look to the future of Texas, you see some very dramatic patterns that result from vast differences that exist in growth rates. And these growth rate differences are largely irreversible in the sense that if you look for non-Hispanic whites, their population growth is now, fertility is below replacement. If you're going to replace people in, for example, the United States as a whole or in Texas, you'd have to look for non-Hispanic whites, for immigrants. And Europe is the oldest, slowest growing region of the world and the only major region of the world that the United Nations projects to have fewer people in it in 2050 than it did in 2000. But we're looking for a population in Texas that by 2050 could be only 22% non-Hispanic white, about 9% African-American, about 56% Hispanic, and about 13% non-Hispanic Asians and others. So there's dramatic changes. Those changes have tied with them, due to these variety of historical, discriminatory, and other factors, socioeconomic change. And if we don't address that, and we think one of the most important of those factors is education. If we don't address those, Texas indeed could be a poorer and less competitive place than it is today, tomorrow, in the future than it is today. Sorry.
Many implications for what you're talking about as Texas changes with the population growth of in a different sectors, different demographics, changing at different rates. You're focused on what this means for economically and for society, but there's also the issue of politically. So as presently right now, Texas is a minority-majority state, right?
Yes, it's one of four states that meets that criteria, yes.
But not in voting age?
Not necessarily in voting age. That will come down the road, but it'll take a few years. You know, it's not a majority Hispanic, but it looks like it will be likely somewhere between 2040 and 2050. But certainly we will see over time, or should see, depending on what people do in terms of voting patterns, whether they remain consistent, we will see some implications certainly for the political structure as well.
And economic success, that's critical for Texas. And if we don't invest now in trying to take care of these forecasted issues that you bring up, then later on we're going to have a population not able to address it.
We'll have a population that will have increased levels of poverty, reduced income. For example, some of the work we did for the Changing Texas book indicates that the average Texas household, if you look, for example, and compare where we were in 2010 and compare that to where we'd be in 2050, the average Texas household would be $7,700 poorer in 2,000 constant dollars in 2050 than it was in 2000. So it gives you an indication of what could happen. And education, we believe, is the key. In fact, we believe that because it has been the single best predictor of socioeconomic success in America. And data, for example, that we include in the book clearly shows that education increases income for all racial and ethnic groups. And in fact, in all occupations, even people who work as operatives and laborers, those who are better educated make more money than those that make less. So education clearly pays for the individuals involved, and it pays for the communities in which they live, and it pays for the state and for the nation.
All right, we're talking with Steve Murdoch. He is the director of the Hobby Center for the Study of Texas at Rice University. He is also the former Texas demographer. He has gone through and looked at the numbers. He has some grim of statistics. His new book, Changing Texas, is a data table filled book that is kind of bleak, but he writes that if policies are changed now, things could have looked a lot better. We want to hear from our callers. The number is 614-8980, 614-8980. What questions do you have for Steve Murdoch? What ideas do you have for trying to deal with these issues? We definitely want to hear from you. You can also email us at thesource@tpr.org. We'll be taking a one-minute break, and we will be right back. You're listening to The Source on KSTX. Drawing on nearly 30 years of prior analysis of growth, aging, and diversity in Texas populations and households, the new book has been released, Changing Texas, Implications of Addressing or Ignoring the Texas Challenge. The lead author in the book is Steve Murdoch. He is a director of the Hobby Center for the Study of Texas at Rice University. And we welcome your phone calls. The number is 614-8980, 614-8980. So let's drill down a little bit deeper, Steve. I know you don't get into – you're not the policy creator. You're just describing the problem, right, that's out there. But give us some examples about what it is about education that's not happening.
Well, I think that we have had a substantial challenge with a large number of new residents who came with relatively low levels of education. If you look at some of our past patterns, and certainly we made some progress, I think, during this last session, but if you looked at expenditures for education, we haven't necessarily kept up with inflation in the last few years, and I realize that was in part because of the economic crisis that not only Texas but other parts of the country went through. And if you look in per capita basis, if you look at growth in real dollars, we actually had a net decline in the per student money that we spent on higher education, public higher education. So clearly, education needs to continue to be a major emphasis and I think enhanced and further emphasized as we go forward, in large part because of what we talked about before the break, and that is that that education has been the key in the United States and in Texas for socioeconomic progress. And so as we educate our population, we promise to do better as a society. The other side of this coin, we talked about, for example, what happens with income if we don't change anything and people our population grows the way we project it to grow, but the socioeconomic characteristics such as income do not change. But if, in fact, we could close those economic gaps, largely through education and other factors, we could be at a competitive advantage in terms of the United States because we would have a younger population, more concentrated in those adult years that are most productive. And so rather than looking at a decline of, for example, $7,700, we could see nearly a doubling of income if we could close rates to the rates for minorities to the rates for non-Hispanic whites. So closing these gaps isn't just good for people who now have minimum resources. It's good for the entire state. It's good for, as we look nationally, for the entire country if we increase the socioeconomic achievement of particularly our Hispanic and African-American populations.
All right, let's go to the phones, and our phone line is 614-8980. Christy has called in. Christy, thanks for calling in. You're on the air. Welcome to The Source.
Thank you, David. Hi, Dr. Murdoch.
Hello.
I'm glad you're here. I missed hearing your interpretations of numbers. Listen, I know that that you guys probably have begun discussing the implications of the removal from Algebra 2 by the SBOE tomorrow for the Closing the Gap initiative. Have you started looking at any potential implications or fallout for the UTA A&M flagships behind that?
No, we are not.
Okay, Christy, thanks for that phone call, and let's let Dr. Murdoch answer that. Go ahead, Doctor.
We have not looked at that specific issue at all at this point. Obviously, as you know, we try to provide good, sound data, but we don't pretend to be the decision makers. We don't feel that's our role. I was once referred to as the Jack Webb of demography. That is just the facts. And so we try to provide information that policy makers can act on, but they are the ones that are elected to make those decisions.
Okay, another caller. Mary has called in. Mary, you're on the air. Welcome to The Source.
Yes. One of the things he talks about socioeconomics and the non-Hispanic white. And people act like non-Hispanic white means that you're privileged. And I've heard that on your show said before, the privileged white. Not all white people make a lot of money. But yet, if I were to send my children to college and I don't have a lot of money and I'm white, I can't check that Hispanic or minority box. And so I feel like I'm being left out of funds that might be available for my children also.
Okay, Mary, thank you for that call. So what are you saying? What are you asking? Is it your feeling like what does this have to do with the state overall or just about you in particular?
Well, yes. Moving to the state, I've been here for like 10 or 11 years, and I feel like I don't live in America anymore, that I live in Mexico. And I would love to see English as the official language, because I feel like with the growing Hispanic population, there's less reasons for them to learn English. And I feel like I'm living in a different country than America. And that's not, when I moved here, I didn't realize that's what I was getting into. And I kind of have a little resentment feeling like I live in a different country.
Well, Mary, thank you for the call. It sounds like you got more than a little bit of resentment, and I appreciate your phone call. So, but Steve Murdoch, that's a kind of reaction that you're getting from a population in Texas. They feel like they are, especially the white population in the state, that they are losing ground to other demographics that are rising.
Well, they certainly are losing ground demographically, and basically, those factors are irreversible for the reasons we talked about earlier. But I think, for example, if you were to look at several of our programs in Texas, such as the Texas Grants Program, it is not necessarily limited entirely to minority populations, young men and women who have limited resources, limited family incomes qualify as well. When you look at the state as a whole, many of the patterns we're seeing are really no different than they were for the Irish or the Germans or et cetera in previous periods. And that is assimilation, if you will, and that's, some people think that's a bad term, but it's a very widely used one in demographic circles, where people come in from another country. And if you take language use, which the lady just referred to, in general, the first generation comes and speaks primarily the language from the country in which they came. The second generation speaks both languages, because they have to speak both to their parents, who speak primarily the original country's language, and they have to live in a new society with a new language. And the third generation then speaks almost exclusively the language of the new culture. That's been true for, as I said, for other groups, and frankly, you see it true for most Hispanics. Why we see the extent to which Spanish is used, for example, is a function of the number of recent immigrants that we've had to Texas and to the United States from Spanish-speaking countries. So these kind of patterns are not patterns that are unique to the United States. They've occurred in the past. And remember that in many cases, or most cases, people have come to this country recently and in the past because there were opportunities, because there were more jobs than there were in other places.
Right, but I think we kind of got off the topic here. But that's not what this book is about. I mean, you're looking at the numbers.
No, that's not what that book is about.
You're looking at where we are right now, what the projections are, where the population is, where the resources are going. Texas has seen economic success, but the benefits of that economic success is not being distributed across the population equally. And so we have this growing population of people who they're going to the school districts that don't have the resources. They're being challenged or not being prepared for the new economy. And so we're going to wake up in 40, 50 years and find that Texas is behind the eight ball, right?
Well, yeah. Our answer to that is, or way of addressing that, is simply say this, and that is, if you look at Texas demographics, the future of Texas is tied to its minority populations. And how well they do is how well Texas is going to do.
Right. And if we spend time demonizing or bad-mouthing and saying, well, they just want to speak Spanish or whatever, that's not going to help.
Yeah, I think the issues that we need to deal with are ones that really focus on changing the socioeconomics for populations that are important to our future country and future state. And that, I think, comes along by looking at solutions such as those through education that can increase the socioeconomic resources of all Texans.
And when you say education, you're talking about like pre-K, middle school, higher ed, all that?
All the way up. And I think, you know, increasingly, as San Antonio has done, areas are coming to recognize that that preschool is very, very critical, particularly in helping children that come from backgrounds where they may not have had as much of the English spoken
sure.
at home that had other things. That preschool education
right.
is critical in closing some of the gaps so those kids can be competitive quicker. As education goes
right, and people want to complain about too much Spanish, and let's put more money in schools. We can help kids learn English better. Anyway, thank you so much, Steve Murdoch, author of the book Changing Texas, Implications of Addressing or Ignoring the Texas Challenge. This is The Source on KSTX. I'm David Martin Davies. Thanks for tuning us in.
This has been The Source on Texas Public Radio. David Martin Davies is executive producer and host. Paul Flabb is the show's producer. Management and oversight comes from VP of Programming Wayne Coble. Chris Udaly is the TPR web editor. Support for The Source comes from the contributors to the Community Engagement Fund, including the Gladys and Ralph Lazarus Foundation.
This week on Texas Matters. For years, Texas has struggled with how to solve its energy crunch. Forecasts said there's not enough power plants being built to meet the demands of a growing population and booming economy. But it turns out the state's supply of energy is just fine. So what changed? And inside the Texas State Almanac and why it's banned from state prisons. That's on Texas Matters, Friday at 3:30 on KSTX.
American Apparel. If you don't know their clothes, you know their billboards. The guy behind them, CEO Dove Charney, next time on Marketplace from 8 p.m.
You can hear Marketplace this evening at 6:30 on KSTX.
From the KSTX Community Events Calendar, on Friday from 8 to 4, the Winston School of San Antonio will host Ignite the Spark, a learning disability symposium. On Saturday at 6:30, Hope for the Future will host their 5th annual gala at the Henry B. Gonzalez Convention Center. And Musical Offerings and the San Antonio Museum of Art present Dvorak in America, on Monday at 6 and 8. Find details on these events and more at tpr.org.
This is KSTX San Antonio, on the air at 89.1 and online at tpr.org. Good afternoon. It's 4 o'clock.